and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life settles in your soul. In your soul. In your soul.
It does. It settles in your soul. Black Mountain Bandits. Boy, were they good yesterday. Hey, everybody, how you doing? This is Terry Raposa and my good friend, Wynn Carpenter. How you doing, Wynn?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing good.
Good, good. So you had a good time hanging out with them yesterday?
We had a great time yesterday. As a matter of fact, yesterday was a tremendously good event. Hats off to Brittany and Clayton. What a great job they did. The thing I really get impressed with is in their ute, since they're two utes, how patient they are with everything and how everything just flowed so smoothly. We had about 50 feet of Jefferson booths, and we had Tehama County's group there, Patty and Mike, and it was really fun. Got a lot of young people, lots and lots of young people.
Good, good.
That came up after Mark spoke. The libation was fun. The food was really good. It was just a great day, and the weather, boy, the Lord sure cooperated with that one. It was beautiful.
Good.
So with that, we had a great event yesterday at Anderson River Park. Very exciting. And a couple of quick announcements. First of all, tomorrow night we will not be having a meeting, a Jefferson meeting or a Patriot meeting tomorrow night.
And why is that?
It is because it is Memorial Day. We want to honor all those gentlemen out there that that serve. Thank you, guys. Amazing what you've given us, the liberty, the freedoms. And, you know, to me, I think that we need to hold our veterans and our soldiers in the highest regard of basically anybody, especially above the politicians.
Amen. Yes, we want to make sure that we honor those who fought and died, because that's what Memorial Day is all about.
Absolutely. We're going to have Mark Baird calling in here in a bit. Also, he is going to be talking about Ammon Bundy a bit. Mark and Ammon Bundy had dinner together on Friday night. Yesterday, Mark spoke at our event at Anderson River Park. And last night, Mark and Cindy drove back to Wairika to go to a special dinner with Ammon Bundy and a bunch of folks up there in an event. I'm sure that event was very, very good. And talked to Mark this morning. He said it was exceptional.
Oh, good. So we're going to get some good feedback on that.
We are. And our phones are lit up already. We have both lines lit up. And I'm going to wait.
So then what are we going to be doing next week when we have our meeting the following Monday?
We'll be discussing what happens June 1st.
June 1st. So what's supposed to happen June 1st?
Well, what was supposed to happen June 1st?
Was supposed to happen June
1st. I'll let you go ahead and handle that.
Well, we were supposed to go to court, federal court. We had our court date set by the court, and so we planned to go down there, and then they pulled it. She pulled the court date.
It's well, actually, they vacated the hearing.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's been vacated by the judge, by the court, because she's going to render her decision probably on paper versus face-to-face. So we'll see how that goes.
And the also, Rally Sally, you're on there, honey. What's up? Sally?
Yes.
Yes. Hi.
Yay, hi.
You called.
I did. I just wanted to let the people know that we are going to have a flag wave tomorrow, Memorial Day Monday, to celebrate Memorial Day, and we're going to be doing it on the Hartnell overpass there. There's plenty of parking at the school, Parsons School, and just come up and walk over on the overpass. And we're encouraging people to bring a flag of their choice, American flag, Betsy Ross flag, Appeal to Heaven flag, Gadsden flag, Jefferson flag, whatever flag you want to fly tomorrow, bring it. Come, we'll have some extra flags for people who don't have one, and fly the flag with us for an hour from 12 to 1.
That's from 12 to 1 tomorrow at the Hartnell Overpass, and there's parking near there?
At the school, yes. Is that Rother? No.
Yeah, Parsons?
Parsons? Parsons. Parsons. Parsons,
okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
There was a brain freeze.
Well, there were two schools. I was like, one's Rother, one's Parsons. And my kids never went to either one, so I didn't know which one was which.
All righty, my dear. Yeah. Anything else?
Nope, that'll do it.
Okay, then we're going to go over to Dave Johnson.
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing, buddy?
Well, Dave's gone.
We lost Dave.
Okay. All righty, then. well, Dave, call back when you get a chance. Anyway, the issue with the judge is basically she vacated the hearing, which means she cleared out the schoolhouse, basically, and is going to grade the papers on her own without anybody around. She'll give a response, or supposed to give a response, or hopefully gives a response, mm-hmm. on June 1st when she's done. She will email our attorneys and the California attorneys on what she is going to be ruling on as far as our motion. And this is our motion for a three-judge court. That's what we're talking about that's in question June 1st, which doesn't really have anything to do with June 15th, which is her hearing, at least at this point. That's what we believe and what we've been told. Is we will be going down to the courthouse, Robert Matsui Courthouse, 501 I Street,
correct,
in Sacramento. We'll be going down there on the 15th of June. We will be doing that, and that motion is one that the state has put in. They want her to dismiss our case, but as we have argued and has argued in our motion for the three-judge court and argued and argued and argued because of McManus versus Shapiro, she doesn't have jurisdiction to dismiss the case. That's why it's always been, well, I'm going to dismiss the complaint with leave to amend and dismiss the complaint with leave to amend, et cetera.
And that's why she keeps doing what she's doing. She knows she can't dismiss the case.
Well, the thing is our motion is our motion is our motion on the three-judge court. We've done that. We're not making any more motions on this particular issue. It is what it is. So we are going to have to get some kind of a decision rendered here very shortly. So with that, we have Dave Johnson on the other line. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
Doing real well, Terry. How are you today, my friend?
Doing well.
Boy, that was quite the event you guys put on yesterday. You
good,
had some great bands out there and some good food.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, you have something to say?
Sorry, I was cutting out there for a minute.
Oh, were you?
Okay.
But, yeah, just watching everything that's going on. I'm really excited to see State of Jefferson. I know some of these articles and the things that I've been seeing like recently, they've been saying they want to declare California an emergency state for the state of homelessness that we have going on. And that was an article I was just looking at today. They were saying that there's these tent cities that are getting built up to be the sizable cities as big as Reading.
Tent cities are?
Yeah, I believe that.
And we're at a place now to where it's getting insane, going on and on with all of these problems, and they're just getting worse and worse.
Well, I know right here in Shasta County that there really hasn't been a solution on any of this. Part of it is that everybody's having a hard time differentiating the difference between someone who's homeless and someone who's just simply a drug addict and somebody who's a criminal. And unfortunately, you have all three of those lumped into usually the same area or close to the same area, and it's kind of hard to tell. But I do know that a while ago I heard from Dale Ball that they were going and picking up debris around the Sundial Bridge, and they picked up a 5-gallon bucket full of needles underneath the Sundial Bridge. Isn't that wonderful?
That's nice. Right here in River City. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of this just has to do with the fact that we've all let this get out of hand. I mean, well, let's get more police. Well, more police can't solve anything. You have no place to put them. Well, now miraculously we're hearing that Les Bossett somehow he found 264 beds, just somehow miraculously, and it is election season. Well, we'll see. But if it goes like the other things that have happened in the past that Les Boss promised, basically when he gets elected, the beds will disappear, with the exception of maybe 64 that our sheriff says he has.
Absolutely. And I know some of the times I end up traveling over to the coast for work, and they're actually handing out needles over there because they were having such an epidemic of Hep C. And I was talking to some of the local business owners, and they're saying they're getting sick and tired of having needles spread out all over the place. And the people in charge are just handing out these needles because of these epidemics of Hep C and AIDS and things like that that are coming about from these people sharing needles. But giving these people needles so that they can just leave around all in the streets for kids to find, that's not the answer.
Well, or you step on them, you know. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, what if they step on one? Yeah. You know, the whole thing is that we lack the intestinal fortitude to really stand up. Everybody's so worried about being politically correct that you don't want to offend this one or that one, or you know, you want to make sure that you're not stepping on somebody's toes. And it gets to a point of the ridiculous. But anyway, it was great seeing you yesterday. You did a good job speaking yesterday. And I think, is that Mark Baird?
Stay okay. Focused.
Dave, we've got Mark Baird on the other line, my friend, so we want to go over to him. So keep listening, and thanks for calling in. Time's come for 51, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Mark, you there, Kemosabe?
I'm here. You guys there? Do you need to take a break?
Nope, we're good.
No, we're good. You're on. So you had dinner with Ham and Bundy on Friday night, and were able to go to the function yesterday. You want to share a little bit of that with us?
Well, it was a long day driving for us, but Cindy and I drove down to the Anderson River Park, and it was a beautiful day, and I really enjoyed being there. Unfortunately, we had to skedaddle right after that because we jumped in the car and drove straight back up to Siskiyou County to attend the event with Ham and Bundy. And Cindy and I went to dinner, at a friend's house with him the night before, and we had a real good chance to talk with a very small group of people. And what I have to say, and what Ammon pointed out, not only with us in private, but also in the function the next day, is quite frankly, the, events that occurred around the Bundy Ranch and the Malheur Wildlife Refuge were so misreported and misrepresented. And there was so much lying going on the part of the news, the press, the government, the governor of Oregon, the government of Oregon, that both judges essentially said there is so much lying and cheating going on the part of the government that there's no possible way. And mind you, these are government judges. They wanted to see the Bundys convicted in both of these cases, desperately wanted to see it. They wanted to side with the government. And in spite of that, both of these judges essentially came out and said that the government was doing so much lying and so much cheating and so much corrupt, that were guilty of so much corrupt activity, that there was no way these cases could even be prosecuted. And every single one of those men was declared innocent of all charges. And the only ones that weren't were the ones that copped the plea early, essentially, because they were threatened by the government. Literally, the FBI was going around to government officials in Malheur County and threatening them if they did not play ball with the government. The sheriff in Malheur County, all of those people were threatened by government officials that they'd better play ball. I mean, it's such a compelling story, and I have to say, I thought I knew what was going on. I didn't know anything. You think you know what happened in those places? There were literally, the government admitted in the discovery process, after being compelled to discover the documents, to release the documents, that around the Bundy Ranch, they were attempting to execute a military operation that included military contractors on the side of the United States Bureau of Land Management. They had snipers 360 degrees around the Bundy Ranch. The government literally released a kill list that they had, which wow. included Cliven Bundy, Ammon Bundy, Ryan Bundy, and several others of the leaders. They had a kill list out. They had seen a dump truck with a backhoe coming out of the desert, and Ammon attempted to see what was in the back of the dump truck. And they tased him and slammed his aunt, a 57-year-old woman, body slammed her to the pavement, for trying to look in the back of the government dump truck. And he was able to gain access to the dump truck. And what he found was that the government was up in the desert and it had destroyed all of the water infrastructure that had been there for over 100 years in order to deny the water rights that the Bundy family had owned for over 150 years. Those water rights existed. And what I want to say is if you don't think that can happen here, you're crazy. I mean, in the Klamath Basin right now, the Klamath tribe has gone to court. They're using the short-nosed sucker fish again. They're suing over the Endangered Species Act. And by the way, the short-nosed sucker fish, that was the fish the U.S. Forest Service poisoned the entire Klamath Lake system in order to get rid of that fish in the 50s to make way for commercially viable fish. They, all of a sudden, these environmental religionists, the environmental social progressives, are claiming that this short-nosed sucker fish is part of the creation story and part of their very survival. When no one uses that fish, it's literally a junk species that no one wanted, and it was so considered such a junk species, the United States government poisoned the lake in order to get rid of them so that trout would have better habitat and wouldn't have these sucker fish attaching to the trout and killing them all the time. I mean, the lies on behalf of the government, the lies on behalf of the government of California, and when Ammon spoke, you could tell, I gained so much respect for this family and for this guy. Emotionally, it was very compelling because he literally felt moved to go and help the Hammond family, who are still in prison in California, mm-hmm. having been tried twice for the same crime, which is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. And it was so compelling a story. For example, the part of the story where they were accused of destroying Indian artifacts. Well, Hammond tells the truth. He said the artifacts in question were scattered all over the basement in the wildlife, in the BLM building there. They'd obviously been uncared for for decades. He said there were weasels and rats in there that were chewing them up, and he said there was blood all over the place because the weasels were killing the rats. He said literally the group of people who took adverse possession, and I want to talk about this adverse possession. It's a pretty interesting angle. They cleaned up all of the artifacts, they organized them, they put them on shelves, they put them in boxes. They literally saved the artifacts from the destruction and neglect that the BLM had been showing, the utter and total disrespect for these Native American artifacts. And then they offered for the tribe to come and retrieve these artifacts so they could be saved. But he said, unfortunately, the situation came to an end before the tribe took them up on that offer. But they literally cleaned the building up and saved the artifacts. They weren't destroying them. They were saving them. And there were just many, many stories he told like that. And he said that, you know, with the Hammonds being in prison, and even though there was no obvious outcome to the situation, he said, what were we to do? Here's this family who was being run off the land that mm-hmm. they purchased, and being denied the right to access to their grazing permits, which they've historically owned, and they owned those rights. They own them, just like you own your car, and the government was in the process of taking those rights away. Well, even when Dwight and Stephen went to jail, he said to the crowd, he said, well, what were we supposed to do? Just say, oh, well, and go home? He said, I couldn't do that. I couldn't answer to my God and let those two men rot in prison without having tried to do something about it, even though he knew that his own family was at risk, his future was at risk, their economic survival was at risk. And he went to jail for years over that. He was in jail, treated more harshly than any normal prisoner should be, and he sacrificed all of that in order to come to the aid of a rancher and a farmer who was in trouble, knowing that the government was prepared to kill them over this.
Well, they did kill one person over it.
They did murder. They murdered him.
They did.
And they murdered him in cold blood, and then the government lied about it. The officers involved lied about it. The agencies involved lied about their involvement. The government did so much lying that even a progressive federal judge had to admit it, and they were declared innocent of all charges. That's an awful lot of lying, folks. And I'm telling you, what Hammond's point was, rights must be defended at their origin. No court will defend our rights. I mean, we have avenues that we have to exercise because they're the legal, moral, and ethical, peaceful ways to do this. But Hammond's point is, rights must be defended at their origin. In other words, we have the right to keep and bear arms. The government is wrong for denying us that right. We have the right to our property. The government of California is wrong to take your property from you, your money, your liberty, your right to exercise liberty. The government is wrong to take those things from you. And if we don't stand now, and if we don't stand here, those rights will be gone forever. They will be gone from you. They will be gone from your children. They will be unrecoverable. And by the way, remember, your rights were given you by God. The Constitution outlines the only things that government is allowed to do. Anything that government does outside of that book is wrong. That's where the word right came from, right and wrong. You have the right to everything that your heart desires. You have the right to progress. You have the right to gain property, to protect that property. Because without those rights, what is your life worth? What is your, you know, why do we have government? We have government so that you can make your lives better in safety and security with the help of your neighbors. We pledge to each other that help. That's what creates the guarantees for the liberty and the rights that God gave us. Anytime government acts outside of that guideline, government is wrong. The government of California is wrong to give your money to people who came here illegally so that they can enjoy a free education, free health care, full participatory rights in government processes, become government officials and government agents, and they, excuse me, and they broke the law to come here. Government is wrong to bestow rights upon people who broke the law to come here. Government is wrong to give your money to those people. Government is wrong to deny you the right to defend yourself against the people who came here illegally. Government is wrong to say that your property and your money belongs to them. Those are the wrongs that government is committing. And what Ammon was asking the crowd is, what are you willing to do to defend one another and your rights? Will you stand up for the rights of your neighbors who are being persecuted? Will you stand up for the rights that your children are guaranteed? Will you stand up? Will you act? And I'm telling you, that room was full. And I wish there were 100,000 people there to hear what he had to say.
You know, you make a very good point. That's exactly right. What we need to do is we need to act. We need to act, and we need to follow through on that. I hope that resonated with some folks last night. I hope that they're ready to get behind this and to stand up. There's many people out there in Jefferson that are really out there fighting the good fight. What they're out there doing is they're standing firm, and they're standing for their rights. And, Mark, you put it very eloquently. The government is not only wrong, they're unlawfully wronged, and let's just say it. The government is corrupt. The FBI is corrupt.
The government of California is led by a federal felon in violation of Title 8, Section 1324, The United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4, gives all power over immigration and naturalization to the federal government. States agreed to that contract. People created states to protect liberty. The states and their signatories created the United States Constitution, giving the federal government, essentially, power over all things external to our borders. That's what the federal government is for. The federal government was founded essentially as a military exercise to protect the borders of the United States from foreign intrusion, to conduct trade with foreign governments, to conduct treaties and agreements with foreign governments, and to keep states from cheating each other in business deals. That's the reason for the federal government. It is their only lawful, legitimate reason. The state of California has declared that they are in charge of immigration and naturalization. The governor has violated his oath of office under Article 20. He has violated the California's Constitution, Article 20, Article 3, Section 1, where he declares, and the government of California, and he is the representative of that government, declares that the United States Constitution is the highest law of the land. The governor swore an oath to support and defend that Constitution without any mental reservation. The governor is in violation of Article 1, Section 10, Clause 4 of the United States Constitution, which says no state will make any agreement with any other state or any foreign power except with the consent of Congress. Governor Brown is a liar. Governor Brown is a felon. Governor Brown should be in handcuffs and being led off to jail exactly the way the state of Oregon, exactly the way the federal government did to Dwight and Stephen Hammond, who have done nothing wrong and have been tried twice for the same crime and imprisoned twice for the same crime. Why isn't Governor Brown in jail?
Yeah, I agree.
Why isn't Kevin Leon in jail?
Right.
Why isn't Dianne Feinstein in jail? Why isn't Nancy Pelosi in jail? They've all harbored and shielded illegal aliens knowingly, which is a violation of Article 8 of United States Code, Title 8, Section 1324. If you did that, you would be in jail. So, folks, I'm here to ask you, we need you to show up. We need you to help us change the state of California from a lawless, corrupt empire run by felons and crooks into a state of Jefferson that will protect you and protect your liberty and protect your ability to protect yourself. Will you stand up with your neighbors? We need 20,000 people that will stand with us. We need 50,000 people that are willing to go to Sacramento a couple of times. Wow, what a big challenge. Can you get in your car and go to Sacramento a couple of times in order to make a statement to the liars and cheats that are trying to subjugate you? Is that really too much to ask on this Memorial weekend? Is it too much to ask for us to put our pledge, our lives, our liberty, and our sacred honor in the sight of a million stone crosses and graveyards all over the world, and those graves hold the bodies of the men and women who have pledged that very same thing at the cost of their life to this nation? All we're asking is that you show up a couple of times and tell the governor of California that you will not submit to tyranny and you will not sacrifice your life, your liberty, or your property on the altar of progressive socialism.
Mark, can you hang on through the break? We've got to take one here, and that was absolutely spot on. Can you hang on?
Sure.
Great. Okay. With that, my friend, time has come.
For 51.
Turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
We are back.
The ultimate prize. Okay, and before we resume, I want to do a shout-out real quick for tonight. Tonight at 7 p.m., we have our second and fourth Sundays of the month. We have our Jefferson Conference call, and so you can call in. You can hear what's going on. We talk about things, Jefferson, and we talk about the court case and all the other stuff that's pertinent to what's going on right now and other stuff as well. And you can get in on the chat room. The best thing to do if you want to hear the call, you dial in the number and listen to the call, and then also get onto your website, soj51.org, go to events and calendars, go to today's date on the calendar, click on chat room, and that'll take you right in the chat room. You can type in a question or what have you, and the moderators will be able to upload your question and ask your question for on your behalf. And so what we're looking to do is, the meeting's at 7 o'clock, and the number you want to dial, 712-770-4114. Again, 712-770-4114. And then the password is 307-268 hashtag or pound. 307-268 hashtag or pound. And those numbers are on the calendar. So you can pull up the calendar, you can see the numbers to dial, and then get into the system that way, and then just jump right into the chat room. Do that at 7 o'clock, and you can hear what's going on.
Also, we had a drawing for the Dream Vacation, and thank you, Boomerang Travel. You guys are awesome, Sue and Alice.
Did I win?
No, Jay Sable won from Visalia.
Sweet.
Yeah, a friend of Dick Wilkinson's. And Jay won, and he had bought six tickets for $100, and he won the trip, the Dream Vacation. So thanks again, Alice and Sue. Boomerang Travel, so
they did a great job.
You bet, and I know that Alice. Whenever we travel anywhere, Alice and Sue are the people we go to, and they are absolutely the best. So
they're the ladies that put you on the Alaskan cruise where you got to go on a zip line. Terry loves things like that. Sally does. She's like a kid. She's like the rest of us. She'd just jump on it and go.
Yeah.
Terry, not so much.
Yeah. I mean, if I stand on one rung of a ladder, I'm dizzy. Anyway, I think we have Kemosabe still on the line. Yes? You there, Kemosabe?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. Doing good.
Anyway, you had mentioned...
Well, wait a minute. I was still shuddering from the mental image of Terry on a zip line.
So was everybody else. It was the landing that was the fun part. That was always good.
Yeah.
Yes, there was a little 98-pound gal that was going to catch me standing on about a one-inch platform on a a tree, and she's ready to catch me. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, if I come at full speed, you will be part of that tree. Anyway, yeah, I mean, you had mentioned a lot of the things about Ammon, and I mean, this is just so egregious. It was very very moving. I mean, I can't imagine how corrupt. I mean, it just, folks, you know, we need to do something now. It isn't.
You know, they also portrayed him as being this outlaw guy that nobody wanted there, and you know, everybody hated him, even the people that lived there that hated him. And when you heard the truth from him, I got to tell you, it was a pretty emotional talk that he gave. But he literally had veterans that came out to the wildlife refuge, and one gentleman gave him one of his medals, his military medals. And Ammon was, he almost couldn't get it out, but he was talking about, he said, you know, I've never been in the military. I don't know military terms and jargon. I don't know anything about how the military works, he said, but this guy gave me this medal that he earned at the cost of his own, you know, risking his own life. And he had no legs. He'd had his legs blown off.
Wow.
In the war.
Wow.
In, I believe it was in Iraq. He was an Iraqi veteran.
Wow.
And he gave Ammon his medal. And Ammon, he said, I can't take this from you. I didn't earn this. I don't deserve this. I've done nothing for this. And the guy said, no, I am going to honor you with the medal that I earned because you have earned this in my heart and in my mind for standing up for the liberty of people here in the county. And he took that. Another guy came out and he had his Navy coat, that his formal dress uniform coat that had 20 years worth of service stripes on the sleeve of that coat. And it looked, I couldn't tell from where I was sitting, but it looked like a Master Chief Petty Officer's coat. And this guy had been wounded in the war as well. And he said, I have nothing to give you, but I want you to have my coat. And Ammon said, I can't take this from you. I can't. And he said, I want you to have it. It's my honor to give you that because you're standing here for liberty. Another guy came out, an older, I think he might have been a Vietnam veteran who was an airborne troop in Vietnam. And he gave him his hat. And Ammon said, I can't take this. I didn't earn it. I wasn't in the military. I've done nothing to earn this. And the guy said, I, who did earn this, want to honor you by giving it to you for standing up for liberty. You know, folks, there are, and oh, that's another one. A guy came out and he gave him the flag that was draped over his only brother's coffin.
Wow.
who was killed in Iraq, and folded inside the flag, and I didn't know this, but folded inside the flag were the cartridge casings from the 21-gun salute that they gave his brother at his funeral. And Ammon said, I've never unfolded this flag. I didn't earn this. But this guy came clear out to Malheur. And I think he was from another state. I don't recall, but, and he gave him that flag and he said, I want you to have the flag that covered my brother's coffin, his only brother, and the shell casings from the 21-gun salute at his brother's funeral. And this guy is so humble. He couldn't hardly get these stories out, but I don't know if people truly understand the sacrifice. When Ammon Bundy went to jail, he had a one-year-old boy who he didn't even see until it wasn't even one yet. And he never saw that child until he was 3 years old. That's
wow.
The sacrifice he made. He
Unbelievable.
He left his wife and six children, and they had to fend for themselves
wow.
because he went to jail to save a neighbor from tyranny.
And was never convicted, and these charges were basically false. That is just absolutely astonishing to me. And the idea...
Every single one of them was exonerated
right.
of all charges.
By liberal judges.
By liberal judges. Because
yeah.
of how much lying and cheating and just subterfuge and criminal behavior on the part of the government.
So who's going to be held accountable to that? Hey, Mark, who's going to be held accountable to that?
No one. Are you kidding me?
Not a single soul, huh?
The same as Jerry Brown's being held accountable for the felonies he's committed. No one's being held accountable.
So we can't start at the department head and work our way down?
No.
And go through and clean it out? Oh, my gosh.
Look, here's the deal, guys, and this is why we're talking about this.
Yeah, right.
We're the only ones that can do that. The people, Article 2, Section 1, all just political powers derived from the people, and this is California Constitution. Government was instituted for their good. Government was instituted by a direct quote from the California Constitution for the good of its people. And anyway, government was instituted for their good. Whenever government fails to serve the people, it is their right, the people's right, to alter or reform government any time the public good demands. Now, it doesn't say at the next election. It doesn't say if you can get an initiative passed. It doesn't say if two or three of you can go talk to your senator who represents another 999,997 people. If three of you can get together and talk to him, government can be altered. It doesn't say that. It says the government can be altered or reformed any time the public good demands it. Well, here we are, folks.
You know
who are the stewards of your liberty? You are.
Right.
Do you think government really is going to steward your liberty? Look at you. Look at history. Look at current events. We are the only ones that can fix this. No one is going to save us. Our representatives, Brian Daly, Ted Hu, Jim Nielsen, Bigelow, and the rest of them, they don't want anything to do with you because you are a threat to their power and a threat to their money. Every single one of them voted for the water bond that created no water storage, is going to cost you $366 million a year for the next 40 years, is going to rip out four perfectly good dams on the Klamath River. Every single one of your representatives voted for that. Do you think they care what happens to you? They only care what happens to their money. That's why we're doing this. And we're the only ones that can fix it. No one is going to save us. No one. If we don't fix this, no one will.
You're absolutely correct, Mark. And, you know, it's just the highest disdain, disgust with these people that I think many of us are beginning to have, and many of us already have. The fact that they murdered Lavoie Finicken, the government murdered Lavoie Finicken, the fact that they had a list and lied about it.
And then they lied about it.
And they also had other people on lists to murder. The government is out of control. The state of California is out of control. God bless President Trump for trying to do what he's trying to do. Where is Jeff Sessions? Where is he? The deal is that the government at this point will do anything they can to suppress you. That's it, period. I mean, that's the end of it right there. We're at a point now to where when you get away with these things, and you can jail these people for years, and I believe that Ammon was even thrown into solitary confinement just in his underwear only at one point. Yes. You know, was that true, Mark?
Yes, that is true.
And so all these different things that have gone on here, Mark's absolutely right. This has gone way past, we'll pay the fine, we'll pay this, it's okay, we'll watch this, we'll watch that, and gosh, you know, there is a hockey game on. I mean, really and truly, we really have to get ourselves to a position understanding that this is now a very critical time, and the government of California is corrupt, it's an oligarchy, and the FBI murdered Lavoie Finicken.
Well, you think about, too, when they did do that to Lavoie Finicken, there was a young lady in the car, and she was a minor.
Yeah.
She was a minor.
That's why he got out, because the bullets flying into the car.
And they continued shooting the car.
Yeah.
And she was in the pickup. She was in there, and she's a minor. So not only did they threaten adult citizens, they threatened a child.
I know.
Who in the hell is going to allow that to happen?
Look, even in California, you have to look at this. I'm sure Kate Steinle's father was absolutely appalled at the careless and reckless attitude of the governor of California, and the trail of blood from his daughter's body leads straight to the governor's office, straight to the mayor of San Francisco's office, straight to the mayor of Oakland's office, straight to Kevin Leon's office, straight to Tony Villar's office. I mean, and then you look at the two sheriff's deputies murdered over in the Sacramento area, murdered by an illegal alien who was cackling, and if I ever get out of jail, I'm going to kill some more. You have to look at the MS-13 members, the Serenios, the Del Nortes, all of the people who are coming across the southern border, unsupervised, unfettered, given access to public services, given in-state tuition. They can become court officers. They can run state boards and agencies. And Senator Lara from Bell Gardens wants them all to have free health care. If you look at that trail and you can't say to yourself, something ain't right here, then maybe we're not doing our jobs correctly.
Well, also, Mark, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, he's in there in the thick of it, and he's also running for governor, right? So he's in there as well. He's second in command. Something happens to Jerry Brown, he assumes position. So he's as guilty as the rest of them, and he's going
to
be running for a governorship.
Well, I also have to ask myself, as a Christian man, I have to ask myself, here this guy had an affair with his best friend's wife while his best friend was working for him in his campaign,
mm-hmm.
and that's the guy I want to elect to the governor's office?
Right.
I mean, his best friend can't even trust him with his wife. And you trust him with your political future, your liberty, your property, your money? I mean, what are you thinking there, folks? If this guy got one vote, that person should be ashamed of themselves.
Amen.
I mean, you know, we're in the fight of our lives here,
and
we can win this. We can win it. We have help, and you know, Ammon was very clear. He made the statement that your rights aren't going to be protected in court, and I agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
All courts are corrupt. I've said it 1,000 times. But it is also our duty and our responsibility to do these things legally, morally, ethically, and peacefully. The only avenue left to us before we seek self-help, in other words, when the government of California breaches the social contract we call constitution, then the people are no longer bound to follow that contract either. In other words, if the governor doesn't follow it, why on earth would the authors of the contract follow it? So
Amen.
We have to exhaust one more branch of government. We've appealed to the first two. We're going through the judicial branch now. Once we exhaust that remedy, and if we do not find relief in the judicial branch, then the people of the state of California will be free to seek self-help in whatever form that takes. And that's another thing that we need to start thinking about.
Yeah, you know, and the thing that, by the way, Mariposa and Stanislaus County, we have received their declarations on both those counties, so we are now 23. 23.
Sweet.
And on June 15th, when we go to Sacramento, we are either going for a court hearing. Now, if we get a three-judge court, which we fully expect to get, it is the constitutional legal process. This judge, under the law, must give us a three-judge court. That is the law. If this judge corrupts the law and denies us that three-judge court, we will still be going to Sacramento. We're going to record the declarations of Mariposa and Stanislaus County, and I would like to see 20,000 people there to protest the illegal activities of the court with regard to the liberty of the people in California.
Amen. There's plenty of time to coordinate for everybody, carpool, you name it, drive down yourself, get a bus, whatever. There's plenty of time to coordinate all of that, and that needs to happen in all counties.
Even if I had to walk there, I'd start 2 weeks early because we've got to start showing up or our liberties will be lost and we will have done nothing to stop it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of counties that surround Sacramento, too. There's Placer, El Dorado. Tuolumne is fairly close. You've got, Yuba County, Sutter County. There's many counties that are close, and you folks down there, we really need you to show up And it's frankly, you know, the drives that a lot of us have, we're good with that. This is not a, you know, I'm good with driving. I'm with Mark. I'll walk. But the thing is that you folks that are really close, it might not be a bad idea to just start putting the pressure on the Capitol, going in there, talking to those representatives, knocking on doors, making yourself be seen. You know, we really need to have that cohesiveness down there, because it would help a lot in that, you know, maybe it's an hour drive, you know, 45-minute drive. The parking's, I think, $12 for a day. Four people in a car, it's $3.
There you know? Go. Yep.
So, I mean, you know, we really have to get a little more serious about this. When the government is serious enough and corrupt enough to go ahead and put out the lists that they put on people and to do the things they did to the Bundys and the Hammonds and, oh, my God, all these different things that are going on, the death and the murder of Lavoie Finnegan. I mean, even on a PBS special, they had showed, you know, him getting out of the car, these girls screaming in the back, and they're still continuing to fire, and he's got his hands up, and they shot him. And they said he had a 9mm, but, of course, they recanted that later because he was unarmed, you know. And I don't know how far we are going to allow the mainstream media, the corrupt mainstream media, to lie to us and to cover things up, and the government. So, you know, Mark, I mean, this has been a very, very, very moving and enlightening program. And you're going to be calling into K-High next. Is that correct? The Placer County radio show?
Yeah, and then I'm going to try to call Sovereign Minds after that.
Well, Sovereign Minds, I know, is expecting you to call after that. We're sure hoping that you do. You know, this is very, very compelling. Hopefully we can take some of this. We've got the archive on this, folks. You need to share this program with everyone. We have it archived. It'll be it's podcasted. It's streamed live. If you haven't heard it right, or the folks that haven't heard it right now can listen to it later on. But really and truly, we need to share this. And when we get stuff out on Facebook, don't just like it, share it. S-H-A-R-E, share it. Because that's how you get it out to another 100 and another 100. And we have to be multiplying our forces here, not adding to them, but multiplying. And, Mark, I have to say that yesterday what you spoke about was so great, very moving. And once you were done, we had probably 10 to 12 younger people, and I'm talking below the age of 25, coming over asking us about Jefferson, picking up brochures, signing up to get emails from us. It was very productive. So I want to thank you for that, sir.
Oh, well, it's, I don't want any thanks. I truly don't. And I'm with Ammon Bundy in spirit, in the sense that this is a calling for us. This is something that God is asking us to do. My wife and myself, as you and Sally and Wynn and his family and a lot of other good Jeffersonians. I'm not asking for credit. I don't want any thanks. I want liberty. And
yep.
I'm willing to do whatever it takes to regain that liberty. And I'm asking all of you, and even the folks that live in the urban areas, you might not see your property being stolen as fast as ours in the rural area, but are you noticing you're having to work twice as hard to get half as much? That's theft nonetheless. We're the only ones that can stop this, folks. If we don't, no one will. And the time really has come for 51.
Amen.
Mark, are
Amen.
You, and you know about the phone call tonight, Kemosabe, yes?
Yeah, I know about it.
7 o'clock, and hopefully, you're able to be freed up to share a little bit of this tonight. Anyway, Wynn, you want to give the phone call number again one more time real quick?
You bet. It's at 7 o'clock, and the number is 712-770-4114, and the password is 307-268#. And you can go onto SOJ51.org website, go to events and calendars, click on the calendar, click on today's date, and it has those numbers I just gave you, plus which there's a link where you can click into the chat room. Click on that, and you can get registered into the chat room, and you can type in your questions and be part of the meeting. So listen online, listen on the phone and read on the chat room.
Thank you very much, Kemosabe.
Thank you, Mark.
Oh, thanks, guys. Time has come for 51. Keep
Amen.
Up the good work.
Amen to that, sir.
Thank you.
We had no say. Don't serve us, you serve L.A. The time has come for 51 in Jefferson State of Mind.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.